Welcome to Regulating AI Podcast, hosted by Sanjay Puri. Join us each episode as we dive into the evolving world of AI governance with global leaders, exploring how to responsibly tackle AI's challenges while fostering innovation and balance.
Welcome to Regulating AI, the podcast that brings together diverse global voices to discuss fair and responsible AI regulation. I'm your host, Sanjay Puri, and today we are honored to have Congressman Scott Franklin joining us. Congressman Franklin represents Florida's 18th Congressional District and brings a wealth of experience from his careers in the Navy, insurance, and now in Congress. As a member of the House AI Task Force, and with his background in technology and agriculture, he offers a unique perspective on AI regulation. Welcome to the show, Congressman Franklin.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good to be here with you.
Excellent. Congressman, we have a global audience. Our audience is made up of congressional members, their staff, think tanks, and AI CEOs across the world. So for them, you've had a very diverse career spanning naval aviation, business leadership, and now Congress. Can you tell them how this background has shaped your approach to AI policy?
Well, I've always been a keen fan of everything that's going on in science and technology. I kind of came of age as a young child watching the Apollo program and and seeing how the Space Administration was able to make those accomplishments in the late 60s, and it followed that all the way through. So I had my first career in naval aviation. I flew jets off aircraft carriers. After the Navy, I was in the insurance world and saw the challenges with huge amounts of data that we were trying to synthesize and process to make good predictive decisions on what was going to happen in the future. And then now here in Congress, I see across all the different jurisdictions and community boundaries how there's a need to get a better understanding of AI. So I'm excited to be a part of the task force. And for me, it's a lot about my curiosity just to learn more about it.
Well, we are very lucky to have someone who brings, public service in the Navy and then industry with entrepreneurship and now in Congress, because sometimes it's really important to get both perspectives. So we are really thankful for that. Congressman, a few of your colleagues, Congressman Jay Obelnorty and Congressman Ted Lieu, have both been on this podcast. Now, you are a member of the House AI Task Force. For our listeners, can you just outline some of the primary goals of this task force and how do you see it influencing AI regulation?
Sure. So this the genesis of this idea kind of started in the last Congress, and Kevin McCarthy had made it a point to try to start bringing our members up to speed on issues surrounding AI. He saw a lot of that coming down the track. But as we started getting into it, we realized quickly how fast things were coming online from the private sector and really how far behind Congress was. So a component of this task force is to try to get the base level knowledge up of AI among members of Congress to kind of cross-pollinate with members of different committees. And on our task force, we represent all the different committees of Congress. And then trying to figure out where's the right spot for Congress to fit in. And, we've had an opportunity to meet with industry experts and from all different aspects and hear their perspectives. And what we continue to hear is Congress needs to step in and do something here. We're not exactly sure where the sweet spot is between overregulating versus providing the right guardrails and bumpers. But if there's any group out there, Congress has a role to play in that. In fact, one of our early speakers had told us that, listen, in private enterprise, our job in a capitalist society is to try to push the boundaries. We need someone to give us, tell us where we've got to put the brakes on, and that they see, and plus with Congress's ability to lead throughout the world, other nations are going to be looking to the U.S. for cues as to how we're going about approaching this. So Congress is the place that probably ought to originate from, or at least be a convener of all the smart people who are bringing the ideas to the table. So that was kind of where we are. And so our next step is our task force has been given a homework assignment to produce a report before the end of the year, which we will do. And that's going to give feedback on what we've gleaned over these last 8 months or so, as well as some recommendations as we get started on what we're calling sort of low-hanging fruit on some early legislation we can try to put forth, and then just knowing where we've got to go in the next Congress. But this is not a one and done kind of evolution, and we obviously want to see this continue and have a standing role.
No, I think you made some very important points. So, Congressman, one of the questions that came to us was that members of Congress in the same day have to deal with Ukraine, Hamas, border security. It's like we kind of expect you to be an expert on almost every aspect. But I think you said in the task force that some of it is education. What steps do you think can Congress take, and maybe it is doing so, in understanding and also improving its expertise in AI as it works on this very, very important regulation? And the other question is, you talked about bringing different stakeholders in there. Are you also bringing small businesses and those kinds of voices, or is it just going to be these large tech firms? Are you bringing in agricultural colleges, community colleges? Because Stanford, MIT are great institutions. We've had their leaders here, but 40% of our kids get educated in community colleges too. So
absolutely. Yeah. Now that we've recognized that as a group early on, that that there are a lot of voices that need to have a seat at this table, and that we're going to be foregoing a lot of opportunity for innovation if we don't include the smaller groups in there. And that's why we've done some initiatives already to try to, you know, democratize AI. We've talked about with the Create AI Act. We're doing some grant programs with educational systems. I've had money appropriated already for some of our universities to look at AI specifically in the agricultural space. But we recognize that when we say whole of government, it's not Congress and the big boys out there. This is really is truly an entire whole of government, including all the smaller businesses.
No, that's good. I think our audience, a lot of them are small businesses. Entrepreneurs will be glad to hear that. And we had the director of the National Science Foundation also here on the podcast, and he talked about how they're doing outreach to community colleges in AI. They're doing outreach to agricultural institutions. So I think that's a very important step. Congressman, there is an issue where, because maybe the legislation, the federal legislation, has not come up, states like California, Connecticut have now got legislation in there. They said they can't wait for Washington, according to them, to get its, so to speak, act together. But what role do you think states should play in AI regulation? And what can we do to avoid patchwork of these regulations? Because think about businesses. Large businesses can afford large lawyers who can navigate through this. But if you're two people in a garage trying to say, I'm going to deal with California in this way, Connecticut in this way, and then EU Act in this way, it's a little difficult. So your thoughts, Congressman, on that?
Now, that is a concern. And we discuss that in many of our meetings. There is a role. The states are going to be the laboratories and the incubators for ideas out there. But technology doesn't know those boundaries. It doesn't stop at state lines. So we do have to be very careful to not get so far behind the states that that we do have this patchwork. But, you know, we've tried to decide, I think, where we've landed as a group, that we really need to start. We need to provide the framework and the modeling out there around standards for AI, and the enforcement will come later. The EU, in my view, in our view, I think collectively as a committee, the EU kind of got out a little heavy on the enforcement side of things before the standards. And I think we need to put some of those markers in place, and then just recognize that this is going to be an iterative process. We can't sit back and wait for one global complete solution to how the U.S. government is going to regulate AI. I think we need to put down some markers and then just work with industry and evolve on the fly, because that's how this is the only way I think it's going to work. We're either going to get nothing done and be stuck at the starting line, or we're going to go too heavy-handed without fully understanding what we're getting into. And it is a pretty complicated topic.
It is. It is. And Congressman Obernorte says it'll be incremental, legislation. It's not going to be comprehensive. So I think you're re-emphasizing that point. Congressman, In the past, the technological revolutions, when you look at the internet, cloud, and a lot of other things, have been dominated or funded by, the government per se. But you talked about how the private sector is now kind of leading this AI innovation. Should this shift our influence and our approach to AI governance in some way?
Well, I think we've seen that trending for a while. And I think a lot of that is private industry's response to just the slowness of government. We've become so bureaucratic, so heavy in regulation and internal processes about creating processes that we just can't seem to get out of our own way as a government. We've seen this, great case in point with the space industry now and how the private sector has stepped in and done things that arguably, absent, groups like SpaceX and others, the federal government may have taken another 50 years to do some of these things, if ever. Mm-hmm. So I think private side moves definitely more nimbly than the government now. And, I think the days of all these great ideas emanating from government and then private coming in to fill the void, I think we flipped that model on its head. And I think we need to continue that with AI as well.
Well, that's good to know. Congressman, you also introduced legislation to support American businesses in terms of participating in establishing global AI standards. Can you talk about why is it crucial for this to happen?
Well, it's interesting, as we had topics from different sectors regarding AI over the course of these months, the one thing that our expert witnesses would come back to in almost every single hearing was the role of standards and really how NIST needed to step in and play a vital role. We've now tasked NIST with so many things, I think, that are going to be coming out of this, that we're certainly going to have to increase their budget. But I think that's where the private sector is looking to government for the most help. Like, tell us the rules of the road, give us the standards, and then we can adapt and work within that. So I do think that at this point in the evolution of AI, I think that's one of the areas the federal government can help the most, is to help establish those rules of the road with the standards.
So the rules of the roads and the standard. Congressman, there has been a lot of talk about the impact of AI on the job market. On one hand, people say, there could be potential job losses. On other hand, it talks about productivity gains, etc. But in sectors like agriculture, which is something you know a lot about, where labor shortages are a major concern, what are your thoughts on the potential impact of AI on the job market there?
Well, I think AI is going to be transformational. And I've heard folks say, compare it to being the biggest thing literally since electricity. And I've always been a science and technology optimist. I look for the good things that are come from science and technology. And sure, there's two sides to every coin.
Of course.
But, we've endured and made it through these types of transformations in our history. If you're in the 1890s and you were a blacksmith or a buggy whip maker, there were some storm clouds on the horizon. If you were a candle maker before electricity, we adapt and overcome. And I have great confidence in the American people to be able to do that. But I think it's going to require some very careful thought and consideration on retraining of workforces. But I don't see things going away and being completely eliminated. I think in virtually every realm we have in society now, there's so much information and data flowing at people. How do we process that? How do we arrive at decisions? I don't see humans coming out of the loop in many of these places. In fact, where I hear more often than not is our people that we have just need more time to be able to do the value added. Let the machine crunch the data, provide the solutions there that people can then communicate person to person. In the area of agriculture, you're right. We struggle with labor shortages, and that's a tremendous opportunity for AI to come in and help pick crops, make a lot of decisions. We're already now with AI and drone technology, we're able to do things with fertilizing our crops, with water, with doing analysis down to the individual plant level that we could have never done before. And so we're getting tremendous increases in efficiency. It's saving money. It's better for the environment. And we're doing it in a way that requires less labor that we already struggle with to provide to begin with.
So it has got to transform, you know, because we have a lot of guests who come in and talk about how AI is going to, is changing healthcare, how AI is changing education. But we are really lucky that you come in bringing that agriculture, which is a very core foundation of, you know, everything we do. And you're saying that it could have a real transformative impact in agriculture also, right, Congressman?
AI? There isn't a single committee we have in Congress, and Congress has a committee to cover just about every aspect of human life, that AI doesn't have tremendous promise for. And I think ag is part of that, you know, and I also serve on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. We've talked about space, but even as far as like weather goes, I'm an oceanography major in the past, and it's hard to imagine a more complicated problem set than predicting weather. And if we're able to do that better, this is not going to put weather forecasters out of work. It's going to give them the ability to make better informed decisions in a more timely manner that can impact and save lives. You know, that's, as a Floridian, hurricanes are the bane of our existence there. I mean, they're a struggle every single year. And if we can get better and do that, at better predictive modeling, we'll do a much better job to help and save lives. Same thing even in my insurance career before. If we can help do better underwriting, then ultimately that will now enable people to pay less on their premiums. We can better predict the risks that are out there and help mitigate some of the damages from them. So I see this helping in every aspect that we have.
Yeah. So what you're saying, Congressman, for our guests is weather forecasting, which also has a serious implication in agriculture besides us stepping out for work and things like that, is going to have a big impact. And, you know, other things, like you said, almost everything that we do is going to make a big, big difference. Congressman, you had introduced this land grant research prioritization act to enhance AI research in agriculture.
Yes.
How do you think this act can bridge the gap between academia and practical applications in farming?
Well, and we're already seeing that in my home state of Florida, and then some of the grant money we've been able to assist the University of Florida in getting with their agricultural research program. They're working hand in hand with farmers to help, use AI to do better things, working towards models of being able to pick crops, to be able to figure out how to better optimize the land that they have. So there's a lot of great things coming down the line in that, but it's an expensive process. And this is where I think the government and private side and the educational institutions can work together.
Well, that's great. Congressman, you know, you talked about every aspect of Congress's or our lives are impacted by AI. You also sit on the Veteran Affairs Committee, and taking care of our veterans is a very, very important thing. Do you think AI can have a beneficial impact on veterans too?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, just this past week, we had an oversight hearing regarding disability claims and how those are assessed. And, you know, our folks who work in the Veterans Administration are overwhelmed with the amount of caseload that they have. The ability for AI to go in and scan a veteran's entire medical history, pull out all the relevant information for a claims decision maker or someone who's deciding on the insurability there or what benefits are available, it will just accelerate that process, enable them to make better informed decisions. And again, this is where this isn't going to replace the human in the loop, but it's going to allow people to not have to do the mundane, repetitive, the types of things where mistakes can be made, and that over time, the AI can provide a better, more predictable output. And then the human in the loop can assess that and make the proper decisions and then communicate that person to person.
That's true. Congressman, as you know, we've had some major hacking that's happened on our data. By, in some cases, external forces, our social security numbers and others that have gone on. What role do you think AI has on cybersecurity, whether it's in defense, offense? What are your perspectives on that?
Well, again, like all of these aspects of AI, there's both sides of the coin. And we have to realize that AI is already now being utilized and manipulated by adversaries, those who would either foreign adversaries to the U.S. or those with criminal intent. But on the positive side, we're using that as a good offense as well. So I think cybersecurity and AI are going to go hand in hand. There's a greater role for that. And obviously, as things get more complicated, it's, you know, there's more data, there's more computing requirements, and there's more electricity required. So there's the needs of the AI machine are going to continue to grow.
Yeah, you talked about the needs for electricity, Congressman. As you know, that's become topic du jour.
Sure.
Surprisingly, a lot of nuclear power plants are coming back. That I just read that even the Three Mile Island nuclear plant is coming back.
Yeah, who would have thought Microsoft would be getting in the nuclear power plant
nuclear
business?
Nuclear power business, which is stunning, if not anything else. In terms of the use of energy and how it is being used for data centers, what are your perspectives? I mean, we have an abundance. I mean, if we use the different aspects, whether it's nuclear, renewable and others, obviously there's a big need for this. That's why they're getting into nuclear. What are your thoughts in terms of the use of energy for keeping us at the cutting edge of AI?
Well, it's interesting. We had a gentleman address our committee a couple of weeks ago who said, when you look at the three primary components of data, computing capability and capacity, yeah, and electricity, mm-hmm, far and away, the long pole in the tent that it, from his perspective, is electricity.
Absolutely.
And I think, in fact, he went on to say what private industry doesn't really need is just Congress showering everyone with money. What we really need is a better energy regulatory framework. We're really dealing with an energy framework that dates back to the 40s and 50s that needs to be updated to reflect the realities of today. And this also just underscores that our energy solutions are going to be not an and or an or. I mean, it's not an or situation, but an all of the above. And, I think there's a great place in our energy makeup now for renewables, but windmills and solar aren't going to power artificial intelligence. So I think it's nuclear is going to make a comeback, but we've got to provide an easier way for that to come online. Obviously, maintaining the safety standards that we have, but it can't be so hard to get a nuclear reactor going here in the 21st century.
Yeah, that's so true. Congressman, you expressed some level of skepticism about fully autonomous AI in defense applications. Where do you draw the line on AI's role in military decision-making? As you know, in Ukraine, a lot of AI is being used in that war zone right now.
Well, the DoD is still committed, and we are firmly in support of maintaining a human in the loop in those decision processes. I don't want to see weapon systems go fully autonomous without a human in the loop. And I think as far as AGI is concerned, I think we're a long ways from that. It was expressed to me recently, and I think it kind of puts in perspective that if I understand correctly, ChatGPT current version takes about a gigawatt of power to operate. The human brain has trillions of synapses and neurons operating on 17 watts of power. So we've got a long way to go before our AI is going to approach and equal what the human brain can do with the power. Because again, power is going to be the limiting factor there. We can create great AI, the computers, and we can have the data. We're not going to have the energy that can do that until we find different efficiencies. So I think it'll happen at some point, but not anytime soon. But in any case, we need to always maintain a human in the loop.
So maintaining the human in the loop, especially for military applications, that kind of leads to this perspective where you have expressed some concern about potential, bias in AI algorithms. What steps, Congressman, do you believe are necessary to address this issue?
Well, that's always going to be a concern, but it's not something that's necessarily being created by AI. We've had predictive modeling in different realms before, and we always have to watch whether it's, how consumer loans are approved or how underwriting decisions are made or how, any time that we've used large amounts of information, we've got to look at, what goes into that decision-making process. And I think this is the same. It's easy to vilify the AI and say it's AI's fault. I think it all depends on who sets it up. And I think that's where we have to have those standards. There needs to be some transparency involved. And I don't think we need to give a carte blanche to people to say, well, this is proprietary. You can't look under the hood. I think we're going to have to make some decisions on the types of things that we say, you know what, we get that. And whether it's, the government with NDAs that allow them to get in to see what is under the hood of these algorithms, we're going to have to do that to ensure that the public has confidence that there isn't that sort of bias in.
Yeah, so some kind of red teaming, looking at the yes. explanation of these models. Congressman, AI is moving at a very fast speed. You talked about AGI. You know, we have multimodal, we have agents and things like that. But rightfully so, Congress kind of moves at its own pace. Regulation policy moves at its own pace. How do we kind of keep that going? Even if you came up with some kind of regulation, legislation, if things change so rapidly, how do we kind of keep that going?
Well, I think, as I mentioned before with Speaker McCarthy before kind of getting this going, we need to keep a cadre in Congress that's ramped up on what's going on. And that's why we wanted to do this across all the different committees of jurisdiction. There's been some talk of this transitioning from a task force to maybe a select standing committee so that we don't work as much in silos. I think we need to prove some worth first. And we've talked about that as our task force. Let's get our report out there, get that out amongst our members, talk about it, continue to build the base level of knowledge out there. But I don't think as Congress we can afford to allow each individual committees to run only as fast as the specific knowledge of a couple of members within that group on AI. I think we need to share ideas and best practices across the different committees. And whether that ends up being the form of a standing select committee, that remains to be seen. We got to demonstrate some value first.
So spread the wealth around, I think, is what you're saying, Congressman, and get people up to speed. Congressman, finally, when you look ahead, what do you believe should be the key priorities for AI regulation in the next 5 to 10 years, even though it's hard to predict? Forget predicting 5 years. It's hard to predict next 3 years, so 2 years, 6 months. So just take a shot. What should be the future priorities for AI regulation if you were to advise? And a lot of people are listening here to you, or your colleagues, think tanks, and European members of parliament. So what would you suggest to them?
I am concerned about data privacy. We as Congress have got to get our arms around something that we all recognize the need. That's something we've got to figure out how to get pushed through and out. I think that's an important piece to protect the consumer. I think we have to get these standards established so that we give private sector the guidelines under which they can operate and feel confident investing in capital and knowing that things aren't going to be taken away. But also on the flip side of that, I have some concern about companies that become too big. I'm worried that if you have companies that have the ability to control the data, to control the computing capacity, and have electricity, have the power to do it, which we're now already seeing with computer companies buying nuclear facilities. I think that has the potential to create the most powerful companies that have ever existed in the history of mankind. Yeah. That concerns me. I'm a conservative, I'm a capitalist, but I also know that there are limits on how far we should allow things to go. And there was a time in this country when we broke up the phone company, and there was a lot of angst around that. But I would say that we have the choices in mobile technology today as a result of that. So we're going to have to be careful to not allow that kind of power to concentrate in the hands of one or two or three companies. And if we do that, not only is there a huge potential for that to be exploited, but it will also crowd out all the innovation of the small people that should have a voice at the table in this. Because I think if we If we don't protect that, then we're going to lose a lot of opportunity.
I think you made some very important points for our listeners. You said, data privacy is very important. You said standards are very important, and then concentration of power. Now, that's a question we get a lot from our listeners. When you look at social media, you know, our town hall in many cases is controlled by a small group of companies that can kind of control how we consume news or things. But AI is even more transformative, and the kind of investments that are needed can be only done by a handful of companies. As you said, some of them are buying up nuclear power. What can Congress do so that we don't see a repeat of social media, or as you said, that when we had the Marbell companies that we broke up, so that we are proactive rather than reactive on something like this?
Well, I think with initiatives that we have, such as the NAIR, the National AI Research Resource, the things that we're trying to do to bring small business into it, we want to get all of the players at all sizes at the table now, having a voice. And as we set these standards and grow going forward, if this is, again, back to your patchwork question, if Congress leaves a void and a vacuum and doesn't step forward and put some markers down, then they're going to be filled with things that are going to be harder to fix later on down the road.
No, but I think you made some good points, NAIR, which gives, you know, access to anybody and everybody to compute resources that has been set up. I think also, Congressman, open source technology, which, you know, gives people access to that. So, and, you know, the innovation of the American, entrepreneur, I have a lot of faith that many times there have been companies that have come out of nowhere will disrupt large companies. So, you know, I think hopefully that'll continue to happen. But I want to thank you, Congressman Franklin, for sharing your amazing insights on AI regulation and your, you know, perspective from the intersection of technology, agriculture, and policymaking really offers valuable food for thought for our listeners. And as AI continues to evolve, the need for thoughtful and balanced regulation becomes even more critical. And we really appreciate your efforts in shaping this crucial area of policy. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Regulating AI. And remember, the future of AI is not just about technology, it's also about how we choose to govern and apply it. And until next time, keep innovating responsibly. Congressman, thank you. I know how busy you are, but we wanted somebody with your background in agriculture, because we get all, you know, high tech, health, this, that, but this has been fabulous, Congressman.
Well, thank you, Sanjay. And this has been a tremendous privilege and honor for me to be a part of this. I'm fascinated by it. I learn every day, and I look forward for the great innovations that are coming in this realm.
Great. And we'll have you back sometime soon to do part two. Thank you so much, Congressman. Have a
great,
wonderful rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.